comes to leave this earth and go to heaven. But that's already been assured through the blood of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for us. My main goal now is just not to get there early. So I'm glad I'm with you this morning. Great things are happening since I was last with you. God just continues to open doors for me. And my wife, I've been pastored for about 20 years, been married almost 30. And just a lot of wonderful things the Lord has done through all the troubles and all the trials. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's working everything together for good because we love him and we're called according to his purpose. I am a missionary to the United States of America. I know that's unusual, but I'm a domestic missionary. And my purpose is to come and to encourage the people and to dovetail my ministry into the local house and to encourage you as a member of the local church to do everything God's told you to do and the pastor to do to fulfill the vision God has for us in these days, because we are living in a great time. I'd rather be living here than any other time in the history of the world. How about you? And so right now, this is it. These are the good old days. I'm not waiting sometime, somewhere over the rainbow, you know, somehow, somewhere. I'm not waiting for revival. I don't know about you guys, but I'm revival on 2 feet, okay? So till revival gets here, we're it. Whatever people are looking for, I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ is already raised from the dead, and we get to act like it. I like that thing about money coming easily and frequently. I'm believing that's going to happen for me this morning. Hallelujah. I tell you, we ought to take that. I hope you took that. That's a word from God for me and maybe somebody else. You might just want to shout it in. Be the one that's the magnet for the purpose of God. I have something I want to share with you, and then I'm going to pick up my guitar in a little while. I love to sing songs from the Lord to people. I was born to do that. I like it. But I want to share a brief word with you, and I mean brief, that I hope will bless your socks off. You know, there's only a few things I've learned over the years that kind of like put things in a nutshell. I like things to be simple. And good is better shorter, and bad doesn't get better longer. So it's always good to be able to kind of, okay, this is the best way to put it. I want you to read one verse, and I believe this verse is for this church this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is a verse that ought to be in neon lights in your heart and plastered all over this building. If you can see it spiritually, or it says right here, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And your faith has overcome the world. And it's not just faith for stuff, it's faith in God. My favorite acronym for faith, you ready for this? Forsaking all, I take him. That's from E. Stanley Jones. You like that? Say it with me. Forsaking all, I take him. So faith overcomes the world. We ought to enjoy our faith. You know, as I pastored all those years, and now I've been traveling, LT, for about 5 years now. In October, it'll be like 5 years since I started traveling. And as I travel, the thing I notice about a lot of places I go, it seems to me there are a lot of folks who are enduring God rather than enjoying God. And somehow I just think, yeah, wouldn't it be nice to cross the bridge and say, you know what, I'm actually enjoying God. I'm actually having a good time. Some of the most, and you know what, some of the most guilt-ridden people, people that feel bad about life and kind of in the mully grubs, are Christian people. And then I know people out in the world, they're just like having the time of their lives. I mean, they're living in sin and everything, but they're pretty guilt-free. And then I come to church and people, oh, man, God's dealing with me, man. I'm going through this and all, you know. I'm bearing my cross. Mother-in-law moved in with us, you know. Just all this. And they just all feeling bad. And I'm telling you what, my job as a missionary to the United States of America is to get people to come up and stand on higher ground where God's grace is there. And you actually enjoy what you do, enjoy God, and to have the time of your life. This is it. This 24-hour period is the only time we've got. If you'll read in the Word, you see that Jesus and the apostles sang some hymns called the Hallel. It's Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. They sang those hymns the night before Jesus died. And just think about this. Jesus Christ sang that song, Psalm 118. At the end of Psalm 118, it says, bind the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. It also says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And think about Jesus Christ, right before he's about to go to the cross for you and me, he sings with his apostles, this is the day the Lord has made. Where I die for the sins of the world, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to make the best of this day. So you and I are not going to die for the sins of the world. And I just suggest you don't try to die for your own. It's never worked for me. God's already done it. And so we're going to have the time of our life. Enjoying God is a great thing, and to be able to pull it off is an art form. You can do it if you've just known the Lord for a week or if you've known the Lord for 30 years. What I'm about to share with you is very valuable, and we'll put it again in a nutshell. There are three thieves of faith. I've narrowed it down. I could tell you 17 things, but by the time I got to the eighth one, you'd forget the first one. So three things that I want to share with you briefly that I found are the thieves that I get to come and arrest every day in my life. You're deputized from heaven to put your foot on the neck of the thieves of faith. The thieves of faith come to rob, to kill, to steal, to destroy. They come to take away from you your enjoyment of life, where you're just kind of barely making it. And you start to live in the power of the Holy Ghost. You ready for this? Thief number one, resentment. When you choose not to forgive somebody, and someone aptly said, unforgiveness is like you taking poison expecting the other person to die. It's an exercise in futility. And most of the time, when I've gotten mad at somebody, I thought I'd hate them and teach them a lesson, I'm there all ticked off at them. I'm going to teach them, you know, that they ought not treat me that way, and they're down the street having a party. They're not hurt very much. Unforgiveness hurts you and hurts me, and it's really something that we do to other people. Now, it may initially mean that they did something offensive, did something they shouldn't have done to us, so it's their fault. No, they just did something stupid, mean, or nasty, and then we responded. And when we respond in unforgiveness, we're doing that to them. We are holding their sins against them, and then we're thinking we're doing God a service, and really what we're doing, we're just ruining our lives. And what happens before you know it? You're not enjoying your Christianity. You're just kind of figuring out you've been, you know, given the bad end of the deal, and you're feeling bad about life, and what you just want to do is just kind of quit. Unforgiveness is a killer, and it's a thief. Can you see that thief? And it's what you do to other people. Well, the great thing is Jesus forgave you and me so we could forgive. So just forgive Fred, Sally. Just forgive them. Get it over with. You know what I'm saying? And the truth of the matter is you and I do stuff too, just so we don't think we're just that wonderful. Some days you're the pigeon, some day you're the statue, right? So don't get self-righteous on me. And really, the thing of it is, the reason we have a hard time forgiving people is because we think we're better than they are. It's all self-righteousness, because we're thinking, well, I wouldn't have done that. Well, the truth is, you probably would have done it. But anyway, let's not go there. The thing of it is, we can all ask God to forgive us, and we can forgive those who hurt us. Okay, thief number two. Ready for this? Rejection. Now, unlike resentment, what we do to others, rejection is what others do to us. It hurts, man, to be rejected. Well, they don't like me. They don't want me to come to the party. They don't want me to be their friend. Well, guess what? That's life. And can I just let you in on a secret? Rejection is part of the deal. Rejection may even be the will of God in your life. Remember that little country song, Thank God for an Answered Prayer? It's about a guy that meets his sweetheart who he prayed for, the cheerleader, that he'd marry her, and he's looking at her 30 years later on the sidewalk and looking at his wife, and he says to himself, thank God for unanswered prayer. You may beg, plead, and may I want this one. I'm telling you, sometimes it's the will of God somebody rejects you so you can get to the person who wants you. It's the God's will that somebody doesn't like you so you can get to the people that do like you. And that's built into God's economy. And so you're blessed a lot of times because people just don't like you. You just use rejection to your benefit. So, well, they don't like me. Well, there's something better down the road. See? And it's the will of God. And we have this goofy idea that if we just prayed enough, we're sweet enough, we're Christ-like enough, that everybody'd like us. You know, we'd be a good old Joe and everybody'd pat us on the back. It's a lie. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. A servant is not greater than his master. So, rejection's part of life. Wow, what a shock. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was rejected by men. So there we go. We have our example, and we're supposed to follow in his steps. But if you start thinking, you know, well, my mother rejected me, my father rejected me. Well, David said, my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He said, well, maybe it was a church or a pastor, maybe, who knows? Maybe somebody you respected, your grandfather, you know, somebody, a school teacher, they rejected me. Well, don't let anybody that rejected you stand in the way of God blessing you. And see, the lie from the devil is because they rejected you, now you can't do anything, you can't be used by God, and you're not going to go anywhere. It's a lie. Rejection is a part of life. In fact, sometimes it's just plain fun to see who's going to reject you. Someone says, I'd love to be a traveling minister. Not if you don't like being rejected. You got to almost have an affinity for it. You got to like it. No, I'm just kidding you. I have a lot of friends, like LT, I got a lot of friends, and I just go where God wants me to go. But you know what? God uses situations where there's just somebody doesn't need me and want me around for a certain time, and then all of a sudden they do. It's just life. And see, it's that way in your job. And so you don't want to be a salesperson if you don't like getting rejected. You say, I'd like to make $1 million being a salesman. You'll never make it unless you're willing for someone to say no. See, someone tells you no, it's part of life. Because you hear enough no's, you'll finally get a yes. And then you'll be blessed, okay? All right, so resentment is what we do to others. Rejection is what others do to us. You ready for the third thief? It's the booger bear. It's the big dog. It's the one that comes and messes up more people and more ministries and more families than I've ever seen in my whole time being a Christian. You ready for this? Regret. Resentment is what you do to others. Rejection is what others do to you. Regret is what you do to yourself. Now, I hope everybody feels bad and long enough about the sins you've committed that you've asked God to forgive you. How many of you just kind of wish you wouldn't have done some of the things you've done? Anybody here but me? Okay, let's cross the bridge. We all feel bad. We shouldn't have done it. Bad idea. But we asked God to forgive us, and now it's over. And I hear people say, man, I just wish I wouldn't have done it. I wish I wouldn't have done it. Well, okay, you can only wish so many times you did it. Sometimes I sit around and say, I can't believe this happened. My wife says, believe it. We got to face reality, you know. It happened. So, well, we could have bought that land down there at Padre Island when they were selling it for 50 cents an acre. Nobody wanted it. We could have. Yeah, but you didn't. And it's 20 years later, it's worth a fortune, you'd be a millionaire. Yeah, but you didn't, and it's over. And we can't, like, go back, put it on rewind. It doesn't happen. I wish, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. No, we didn't. So you think, you see, regret says the accumulation of all the stupid, goofy, dumb things we've done, all the sins. You look at your wife, you look at your husband, say, we shoulda. I mean, I can't believe this. And you just get all upset. And we just tell ourselves that because of all these goofy things that happened, now we can't be blessed. There are people who just somehow kick themselves out of the ministry. God can't use me now. And it's all because of regret, thinking that if we just wouldn't have done this, we'd be used by God. But you know what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what we do is we pick up the pieces. We give them to Jesus, say, Jesus, show me what to do. He says, now is going to be your greatest hour. You see, you can do more at the last few years of your life than you have up to this point if you just give it to God. Cross the bridge. I forgive them. They rejected me. Hallelujah. No regret. And I think what I'll do is I'll just be a winner. You say, well, I've been a loser all my life. Well, now you can be a winner. All you do is just change your mind and midstream. Just decide it's going to be worth living. And there's always something stupid somebody did. You see, sometimes our worst enemy is us. Amen. How many know there's a real devil? Amen. He's real mean. He's tricky. But sometimes I think the devil, I think he kind of scratches his head when he hears us talk. People say, you know what, the devil talked to me all day. First of all, I'd like to ask you a question. Didn't Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice and follow me? And they will not listen to the voice of a stranger. So if you're telling everybody you've been listening to the devil all day, that's not like something to brag about. I was in spiritual warfare. No, you're just telling everybody you were a dummy. You were listening to the wrong God all day long. In fact, the devil's not a god to start with. So that finishes that deal. Well, don't shout me down. It's true, isn't it? And so people say, the devil's been lying to me all day. No. Let me tell you what else. The devil said, all day? He said, man, I just showed up at 7 o'clock, put some lie in your mind, and spun you like a top. He says, I just left you by yourself. He says, I knew you'd finish yourself off by noon. He said, I wasn't sitting around talking to you all day. So the devil knows that we're going to do his job for us because we've learned how to hate ourselves and not like life, get bitter and everything, and just kind of go in the opposite direction. I think the devil's just confused sometimes when he gets all this credit. He said, I wasn't even there. So we had to pray 15 times to get our car to church, but hallelujah, we made it. You're giving the testimony, your wife's hitting you and say, you know what? We could have like stopped and gotten gas. See, there's a difference between satanic and stupid, man. I don't want to shock anybody. So these three thieves of faith, we come and put our foot on the necks of these suckers, and we just say, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay, do I have stuff I can feel bad about? Yeah, but, I mean, why don't we feel good? I don't understand that. People say, well, you know, it's really hard being a Christian. No, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why don't we just start saying what God says? And you know what? It's the truth. And the truth always wins. You know what's so funny? I wasn't much of a counselor when I was a pastor because I don't like listening a long time. Somebody start talking about their problem, and God give me the answer in about 5 minutes. I said, I got the answer. We could pray, go to lunch, and everything. And they say, no, I just got started. Haven't told you about my dog biting me when I was 3. I said, oh, God. We're going on a guilt trip. Everybody packed their bags. Got to listen to all this stuff. If you're a counselor, let me tell you something that really is cool, really work. Because counseling's good. I get counsel. You know, I like it occasionally, but not as a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Some people at least go to these professional counselors out in the world, pay $150 an hour. Other people pay their tithes and then go to the pastor and all these people in the church. But what happens is you come in and say, okay, you're going to counsel. You're going to talk about your life and everything. You got as much time as you like, but we're going to time it. And when you're through, we're going to pray. I'm going to give you the word. And then I'm going to spend the same amount of time you talk to me telling you all my problems. I cut down that counseling by about 75%. I was frustrated one time, McAllen. I had somebody, I think it was late at night, somebody called me. They always wanted to commit suicide, constant deal. I was so frustrated, I said, you know what, just give it your best shot and call me in the morning and let me know how it turned out. Well, they didn't do it, okay? If they wouldn't, I wouldn't have given you the testimony. But so all this counseling and stuff, it'd be good if we just like believe God. That'd be kind of a shock. Some character did, a student did a study. They do all these statistics, and they go around. They were asking people in counseling offices, Christian counseling, and pastor's offices, who sometimes wait an hour till they see the person, how much time did you spend praying to God about this situation? You know what the average time was? 5 minutes. Okay. See, there's a difference between satanic and stupid. Always tell yourself that. If you don't, your wife will. You think, how many times do we have to go through this? You're learning a lot from your wife or your husband. You could. But see, we got to get off the cycle of the same old stuff over and over and over, the same problems. You ever notice when you're married? We've been married almost 30 years, and it's the same arguments over and over and over. Yeah, you're just like your mother. Yeah, yeah, but you never fix the screen door, you know. This one guy, I thought he had a great idea. He says, next time we argue, we put on a tape recorder and record it. And then the next time it's time to argue, we just get some coffee and eat donuts and listen to it. and save our breath. You know, conserve our energy and stuff. Be good stewards of our time. But the neat thing is Jesus comes and he'll revolutionize our lives. He might even change us. I want the God changing me so much my dog knows it. So you come in, you don't kick that dog. He says, "You must be a Christian." But I tell you what, enjoying life is so good. It's a lot. It's just as cheap to be happy. It doesn't cost any more, you know. But the thing that hit me is struggle. I was talking about this counseling deal. You know, people say, "Pastor, I want to be honest. I want to be genuine. I want to be real. I mean, if I don't feel like praising God, I don't want to praise God. You know, if my sister, she did what she did, well, if I don't feel it from my heart, I'm not going to just forgive her just because. Let's be honest. Let's be genuine. Let's be real." So everybody wants to be genuine and real and honest when it comes to like sin and depression and stuff. But let me ask you a question. How many of you here are Christians? Let me see your hand. Are you a Christian? Is that the real you or the fake you? Come on now, is that the real you? You're the real Christian? Okay, what I'm going to tell you now is worth a lot of money, okay? It'll save you a lot of counseling. You ready? You just told me you're a Christian, is that right? Now, a hypocrite is what? Somebody who acts like somebody they are not. You a Christian? Okay, did Jesus say forgive? Praise the Lord and love your enemies? So what if you don't do those things? There you go. It's over. I want to be honest. Okay, well, you got to forgive them then. But see, when it comes to sin, nobody talks about being, or it comes to righteousness, no one talks about being honest. Listen, did you ever think when you're, how many of you ever been depressed beside me? Anybody here? Did you ever think in the middle of your depression, I could be like faking it? This may not be real. This could be an illusion. Now, I know nobody here cusses, but you know, sometimes when people take off and just start using four-letter words, go crazy, you know. Well, after about 15 minutes, the anointing of hell kicks in, demons fill the room and stuff. Now, did they mean it when they started? Maybe not. You see, we might see, if you want to praise the Lord, someone says, "Well, I'm just going to, look, fake it till you make it. We'll put you in a room and you just start praising the Lord. And then we'll come in 15 minutes and see if the anointing kicked in." He said, you feel the presence of God? No. I'll say, okay, another 15 minutes. You see, how many ever learned to smoke beside me? Anybody here? Look at all the liars. Okay, I'm kidding. When you learn how to smoke, I was 15 years old. A bunch of guys, we went in a garage to hide because we were so brave. And we learned how to smoke. We got in there and started sucking on those dudes. And man, we just turned green, got sick. But I mean, we were going to pull it off, man, because we were going to be cool. It costs to be cool. It's sacrifice. You got to put your life into it. If you want to die good, you got to live hard. So we were out there learning how to smoke. Well, after a while, I finally got it down. Then when people become Christians, they pray one prayer. Well, it didn't work. I'm telling you what, we got to put some effort into it. How many of you learned how to smoke? Let me see your hands again. Just, okay. Well, for you, six people that learned how to smoke. Let me just talk to you, just between us smokers. If you put one-third of the energy into praying and seeking God and doing the things of God as you did and learned how to smoke, you'll be a flaming success. Okay, you missed it. But God comes and he speaks to us in his tenderness because he's always wanting to give us hope. You realize that Living Word, this church, has been given a destiny by God? And the vision that the pastor has didn't come because he ate pizza late one night? But it's an inspiration from heaven itself. And God says this place will be a place of the living word with living people, living stones. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, so I'm going to pick out some people. If I look in the eyeballs, you're it, okay? Just stand up and I'll sing you a song. It'll be over before you know it. It won't even hurt. And I've had people get mad. Say, well, that was my song. You gave it to the wrong person. Okay, well, if you think it's yours, just stand up over there, you know. You ready, ma'am? Huh? You ready? What's your name?
Letty.
Letty, you ready? Oh, all the time I am listening, and I know exactly what you're going through. I know your loss, I know what it costs, and I say I am not through with you. Oh, don't you grieve, I'll never leave. It's time to rise and shine, I will be with thee. Just know I care, and I'm always aware that I'm going to bring you through this night. And don't you be afraid, provision has been made. I'm giving you everything, and now it's time to sing. Because you're not alone, even when you're in your home. I say I'll bring you through, you'll be amazed at all I do. I'm giving you life, even through the strife. And I will not be leaving you by yourself. You belong to me and no one else. Oh, I say you belong to me, not even to yourself. And do not think I'll leave you alone. I'll bring you to the other side. I freed you from all those who had all their pride. Just know that I am with you. This is not a lie. I will give you everything, everything you need. Amen. Oh, come on, stand, son. Right now in these days, I bring you out of confusion and right out of the haze. I'll show you what to do in every business dealing. Don't be concerned about everything you're feeling. I've given you a plan, so just know it's not a man, but a divine revelation that I've given you. Just rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm the one who cares, I am the Lord of hosts. I say rise up without hesitation, and I'm bringing you my perfect salvation. Come on, son, rise and shine. You're gonna make it just in time. You see the money's gonna be there right when you need it. Don't have to be concerned that you'll be left high and dry. And in the season of this revelation, you will start to know the reasons why. Just move in faith, 'cause I care. I'm always there, and it's not too late. I'm always there, and it's not too late. I'm healing you from the inside out. I'm healing you so you can shout. No one can take you out of my hand. You'll understand. I'm healing you from everything that's come to
kill and destroy. I'm giving you a new lease on life so you can enjoy. No one can take you out of my will. You're gonna live and see it still. Everything you want in your family to come to pass, and it will. Just believe I will. Yeah, I see the dream that you saw long ago. It's not over till it's over. Your hand to the plow. I'm gonna work it out somehow. Just believe. Just believe. You see that vision? It may cause some division. Those who do not like what you'll do. But look up to heaven.
What's your eyes? What's your name? Amy? Are you married? Are you engaged? Thank God.
I've got my mark on your head, and there's a reason why. You were specially chosen from the foundation of the world. Don't you be afraid, cause provision has been made. Even though Satan's darts at you are hurled. You see, you are chosen by my word. Remember everything you've heard. I'm not gonna let you down the time of fear. Know that I am with you, and I will bring you to that haven that you've been looking for. Oh, just be careful, as I put my mark on your head. Everyone who wants to touch you in a wrong way, they'll be dead. I'm bringing you a great revelation of my will, of my will. I say they better watch out. They better run, because I had my purpose for you, my little one. I will come to your rescue, and I'll show you what to do. Just know that I'm with you. I say, all your enemies, they'll come falling at your feet. I say, they're gonna have fear, they're gonna be afraid of me. I'm gonna bring you to a place of revelation and grace. Oh, I'm gonna see you come to the other side. I guarantee you, you belong to me. But your enemies, they'll come and fall at your feet. I'll cut out their tongue where they cannot speak. I'll make them so sick inside, they'll feel so weak. I'll cut off their legs where they cannot run. I'll cut off their hands, and it won't be fun. Cause your enemies, they're gonna fall at your feet, and they're gonna see my power, they're gonna see my face. But I will lift you up in my mercy. I'll give you everything you need, and you won't just survive, but you'll succeed. It's a guarantee.
Hi, y'all married right there? That's good. Especially sitting so close together. I want y'all to stand, huh?
I've heard your prayers. Everyone has risen to my throne. I've seen your tears. I've seen your cries. And I have my reasons why. I know it seems like so long, seems forever, you wondered why are you waiting, Lord. But I have my reasons, I've told you before. Just keep on trusting. And don't think I'm leaving you alone. I'm bringing a blessing to your home. Though the house won't fall apart, I'm giving you a brand new start. I'm responding to your heart in this time of need. Oh, I'll bring you through the storm, and you won't fall apart, 'cause I love you so much. I've been with you from the start. Like an eagle in the sky, you're not earthbound anymore, but you're gonna learn to fly. You're not gonna be eating dead things like a buzzard on the ground. I say everything you're looking for will be found. See, I'm giving you a brand new chance. You're not a victim of circumstance. You're gonna fly like an eagle above the mountains high. Fly like an eagle and you'll see the things you need to see. Oh, come be released in my grace. Come on, girl, you'll see my face. I know the things that have taken place right before your eyes. Oh, rise up strong in the Holy Ghost. I'm your daddy and I love you the most. You're not left by yourself or to your own way. My child, no more grief. I'm sending you sweet relief. Deep inside your spirit and deep within your soul, you're not left to your enemy's ways. I'm bringing you through. Oh, it's time to fly like an eagle above the mountains high. Fly like an eagle. Yes, you're gonna fly. Yes, you're gonna fly.
Amen.
Oh, it's not over till it's over, so stand. I know the heartache that took place. Say that my grace will be there. Come on, son, it's not over. You've been chosen by my name. And if you believe, you'll never be the same. Oh, stand up strong. Listen to the song. Come on now, hear my word. 'Cause I led you here, and I'm giving you everything. You see, I'll wipe away the questions in your mind. Just look into my word, and know everything you've heard has come from me, bringing liberty. Oh, don't think you're out on the ship and that you're about to sink. I freed you from all those lies and everything that stinks. I'll bring you out of hell and into heaven's ways. I'll cause you to be amazed, because I've called you from your mother's womb, and I've given you the chance to shine. You see, this word's not from man, but it's divine. Come on in, the water's fine. I say it's time for you to see that I have plans for you, and it's total victory. Oh, come on, son, rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm your heavenly Father, and I love you the most. Don't give in to sin, and don't think you're gonna be a victim there. I know where you've been, and I'm totally aware of those that tried to bring you into a place of covenant of death. But I'm here to say that it's not gonna win. Come on into the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for you to get ready for a great big surprise, 'cause I'm bringing you in. No more lies, no more frustration. This is a place for all the nations. This very house is a place of prayer. That is why that I care. I've given you hands to reach out. I've given you feet to walk this very walk. And I've given you tongues to speak my word. So rise up and talk. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. And bring them here to the very end. For there is hope in this house of healing. This move in faith, and not by what you're feeling. Get through the flesh to the very best. Come on and move in faith, my friends. Come on now, see it in the power of my spirit. And know I'm in it. This is a healing home where others can come and not roam. Oh, bring them inside where they can hear my word and be saved. Oh, rescue those that are burning in the hellfire, and know that I will be with you there. For I made this a house of healing, and I will reveal myself to those who don't think I'm alive. Oh, they'll be shocked when they realize. They'll come through these doors and they'll start to explore. things they've never seen before. This is a house of healing, and I'll start revealing to those unbelievers, and they'll become receivers of my grace, of my love. They'll be touched from above, and they'll see things they've never seen any other place. I'll give them a new start right in their hearts, and you will be shocked and amazed. This is a house of healing. Oh, I delight and I'm revealing all my heart to the nations. Oh, I'll bring them my salvation. To see you are my hands and my feet. You're my tongue in the earth. I will use you, my children, to bring others to birth. Oh, don't think it's a waste of time, because I'll rescue them in the nick of time, and they'll be saved from damnation and receive my salvation. You'll see it happen right before your eyes. Come on now, get ready for a big surprise. This is a house of healing. I've told you so many times before. This is the time where people are free from the dungeons inside of the soul. Just bring in the multitudes, all your friends and your neighbors, and you'll be amazed through all the haze what I will do. There's a river flowing right at your feet. It's my spirit moving, saving you from defeat. It's a river of love. It's a river of power. It's a river of faith, where you can rise this very hour. Oh, I'm giving you my power.
The healing stream of the Holy Spirit is in this house. And God says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in you. This is a house of healing. And God says, I will do amazing things among you. I will bring about my word, and as you speak, it will take place. God says to you, Pastor, that you shall declare a thing. You shall declare a thing, and it shall take place. You will declare a thing, and it will take place. And light will shine in your pathway. You will decree a thing, and it shall be established. And light will shine on your pathway. God says, this is a day where His word will be strong in your hearts. Now, I have a question for you. Is there anybody in this room that says, you know, today, I know that what Jesus did for me was so that my whole life could be changed and I could be different, and that you would like to come down here with me and pray and declare before this congregation that this is a brand new start for you? Is there anybody here? Anybody here? You want to do that? Well, come on. Okay. Anybody else? This is a brand new day for me. I can feel it in my bones. I can sense God just churning in me. Anybody else? Come on. No telling what God's going to do in you. This is a brand new day for you. Yeah, I want you to face everybody instead of that way. I can turn like this, okay? Is there anyone else? Anybody over here say, man, this is it. I don't know where you are, if you've ever given your life to Jesus, or what's going on, but this is something valuable. And I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord right here, okay? And we, as your friends, the pastors here, we're just so happy that you're responding to the Holy Spirit. And sir, let me just pray for you. God says that he's gonna bless your heart. He's gonna bless your heart and your blood. You need something to happen to you physically. And the Lord says you're not gonna die before your time. You just need to give it all to Jesus this morning. Father, thank you for all the folks that are here. God, I praise you for your love. God, for whatever reason these men and women are here today. God, I thank you that you're the God of all flesh. Nothing's too hard for you. I thank you, Lord, for the oil of the Holy Spirit that is so refreshing.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Lord God, I thank you for the stand they're making. Lord, we praise you, Lord, that there's the renewing in the Holy Ghost. Praise you, God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercies you saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing in the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. The Lord bless you from Zion. You are not a victim, but you are a victor through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we as the house of God bless you. We say the Lord give you your inheritance in Jesus Christ. May you live to see the days come upon your children and your children's children. May you see doors open before you that no man can shut. May you have the desire of your heart. May you see things God's way and not your way. And ma'am, may you live, look at me, may you live in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength today. Lord Jesus, bless you and keep you. Lord Jesus, thank you. We honor you and praise you. Thank you, God, that this is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, the anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon you all. May you rejoice in what Jesus is doing deep inside of your heart today, because he is the Lord, the King of Kings. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.